Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, The Anointing. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Isaiah 10 and verse 27. The oil and the wine, the anointing. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Brad, could I use you for a moment, if you don't mind? Put your Bible down. What Isaiah is giving as a picture is this. He's talking about the oppression of the children of Israel, and he pictures a person with back bent over in order to carry a heavy burden. And so it's a picture of someone who is being used to carry a burden, a symbol of oppression. Not only is there a burden on the back, but there is a yoke about God's people's neck. And you put a yoke around the neck in order to tie something to it so that, come along with me, you can lead somebody around, okay? But now the promise of the word of God is this, that the anointing is going to do something. First of all, the burden is going to be removed off your back. Secondly, the yoke is going to be removed off of your neck. And then the yoke is going to be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Thanks, Brad. Please hear this. We have said the anointing breaks the yoke. That's not what the word says. The word says the anointing destroys the yoke. A broken yoke can be put back together again. A destroyed yoke can never be put back together again. And the enemy has let us believe that the yoke gets broken but then gets put back. I'm telling you this, once you have received the anointing and a yoke has been destroyed off you, if you take another yoke back, it's a new one. If you take a burden back, it's a new burden. And the enemy has banked on the ignorance of God's people to keep on putting stuff back on them. And they thought, oh, I thought I got delivered last night, but I obviously haven't, because here I'm doing the same thing again. No, you just took back a new yoke. If you had stood on the word of God right away when the enemy tried to put the same thing on you, you would have said, Satan, you can't deceive me, because last night that yoke was destroyed by the anointing oil. Now you're trying to put another yoke that looks like the old yoke, but I'm not going to receive it, because the yoke, that old yoke, has been destroyed because of the anointing oil. I'm telling you, the anointing really does what God said it would. It destroys the yoke. Now, a lot of God's people have taken fresh yokes back and thought, uh-oh, I never got delivered. But I'm here to tell you that God's word is truth. That the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, in other words, wherever the anointing of God is present, burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed. So if the singing doesn't remove burdens and destroy yokes, even if it gives you goosebumps, it ain't anointed. If preaching just is a rah-rah and gets you all excited and you go outside and no burden was removed and no yoke is destroyed, it wasn't anointed, no matter how much it made you holler, get up and shout and cheer or whatever. And on other occasions, preaching can be real quiet, but it's the truth of the Word of God that lifts burdens and destroys yokes. And we say, oh, the guy wasn't so anointed, because we've come to equate noise with anointing. Anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. That's how you can tell if the anointing is real. So those of you who might be new to what's going on here, need to just check with those who are acting drunk. Tell me about the burdens that have been removed in your life and the yokes that have been destroyed in your life, and you'll be able to tell if this is the real anointing of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good? Now, turn to Isaiah 61 that Brother John read earlier, because now we're going to get a clearer understanding of what the anointing does in order to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And we're going to learn some of the yokes and some of the burdens that are going to be destroyed by the anointing. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So when God anoints you, the Spirit of the Lord is imparted to be upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Whenever anointing comes upon you, there is an impartation of the Holy Spirit and equipping by the Holy Spirit to accomplish certain things that God wants accomplished. And so the anointing is the impartation of the Holy Spirit to you to accomplish what you cannot do by your own human power. And it deals with deliverance, freedom, destroying yokes. It's great. It's wonderful. All right, let's see what the anointing is upon. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Let me ask you this. What is good news to the poor? Okay, so if you come to a friend's house at 2 o'clock in the morning and knock on their door and say, you don't have to be poor anymore, and you turn and walk around away from them, have you helped them any? No, they'll probably get a shotgun and shoot you for coming and waking them up, you know. No, you haven't helped anybody by just saying you don't have to be poor anymore. But if you leave with them the power to get wealth, then you've really given them good news. You see, the anointing doesn't just come and say you don't have to be poor anymore, but the anointing is the impartation to you of the power to get wealth, which is the covenant promise of God to Abraham that is yours, but which the spirit of poverty has stolen from you. So good news to the poor man is not just you don't have to be poor anymore. It is destroying off you the yoke of poverty and lack and debt, and imparting to you the power of the covenant to get wealth. That's pretty good news. Boy, you can really get a free neck from that one. It's so interesting that Jesus started with that. You know why? Because I've discovered this in most of our lives, the quickest way for the enemy to get us into defeat and into discouragement is over money. Come on. I mean, you can have the joy of the Lord, be in the place of prayer and get out of there and your car break down. And I mean, this is going to cost me money again, and you've lost your joy in a split nanosecond. See, and I'm telling you, this gospel is wonderful. It works. The anointing works. But you see, it's what Brother John said. In order for you to receive the power to get wealth, when the anointing comes on you with the good news that you don't have to be poor anymore, guess what God is going to do to you? He's going to start to change you on the inside and change your spending habits and change your desires and change the lusts and the greed within you, so that when He entrusts to you the wealth that is yours by covenant inheritance, it isn't a curse to you. I was staying with a woman in West Virginia with this couple, but I was speaking to the woman, and she said, Brother John, she said, if you prophesy prosperity over me, I'll shoot you. She said, every prophet who comes to our church calls my husband and I up and prophesies prosperity, and every time they do that, we get worse off financially. We get further into a hole. You see, that's the nature of the promise of the prophetic ministry. God speaks it and then He exposes your heart. And she wasn't willing to deal with her heart up till that time. And so I mean, what God was trying to deal with was her spending habits. God was trying to deliver her from an old spirit of poverty that made her go and buy things that she couldn't afford with credit cards that she couldn't pay back. And I'm telling you, the anointing is extremely practical. It's going to sort you out from top to bottom. It's going to change you. See, why should God entrust to you the wealth that He wants to give you, which is to bless all the families of the earth, if you're just going to bless the credit companies with plenty of interest payments? See, I'm serious. He wants to give you the wealth by which you can bless all the families of the earth, but the mess you're in financially. See, I'm just being real practical, people. If the anointing works, it's going to remove the burden that's on your back of debt and the yoke of wrong spending and the yoke of poverty that you've come up with from the parents' home that you've brought. I'm telling you, the anointing is going to turn you upside down and shake all the garbage out of you. So get ready. God's dead serious about removing burdens and destroying yokes. Good news to the poor. Not just you don't have to be poor anymore, but I'm going to turn you inside out. And I'm going to give you kingdom prosperity, and you're going to inherit all the promises to Abraham of blessing so that you can bless all the families of the earth. And while you're laying hold of the anointing and laying hold of the promises, the anointing is going to change you completely. And Bev and I can testify to that. We have been shaken one way or the other. Do you think it's the right time for you to share your testimony? Yeah, I think it is. Come on. I think it's...
Well, you know, I shared this morning of when I first started to yield to the anointing and how the Lord would just... One day I was lying out on the floor and the Lord just, like bubbles coming up, removed so much of the sin in my life and the motives and exposed the hidden motives of my heart. And just before I could even repent, He would just take them away, take them away, take them away. And I just kept yielding every opportunity. We were in Rodney Howard Brown's meetings for 4.5 weeks. And I would just keep yielding, keep yielding, keep yielding to the Spirit. Sometimes I knew what He was doing. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes He was working on my body. Sometimes He was working on my soul. Sometimes He was just working on my spirit. I didn't know what He was working on. But I just yielded. I just yielded every single day. Every time there was an opportunity to come for ministry, I went and I did my carpet time. And the one night... I was just under the power of God, and I didn't know what He was doing. I just yielded my spirit. And the Spirit spoke one word to me. He said, "You will be struck dumb." And so I was struck dumb. That was just like a sign and a wonder when a woman can't speak, you know. And so... You know, when John came back to me, he'd done his carpet time in another part of the church, and he came back, and he looked at me, and I said, it's like my mind had the words going, but my voice wouldn't cooperate. You know, it just wouldn't happen. I was dumb. It was a very silent trip home. I mean, everybody's like in awe, and John's thinking, good night, what's hit my wife? So we get home, and I start writing some notes to him, because I still couldn't speak. But all the time in my spirit, the song was going, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And that night I could hardly sleep because that was like a stuck record player going round and round, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." The next morning I got out of bed, still couldn't speak. But I'm just taste and see that the Lord is good. We went off to the meeting again. And during the praise and worship time, I just sat. And I still couldn't sing or speak. And I just, in my heart, I cried out to Him. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to live if I can't know the fullness of Your anointing upon me. I want that more than I want to live." And that wasn't a suicidal thing. I mean, my children were saved. My husband was saved. I just reckoned that heaven would be much better than living on earth without the anointing. I mean, that's just how I felt. That's how hungry I was to know the power of God within my heart. And so I went right through that service and I just wept before him. I hungered after him. As we got up to leave that service that morning, I went to hug a woman who I'd made a friend of. In fact, it was Rodney Howard Brown's sister-in-law, Anne Howard Brown. And as I hugged her, it was like my whole life flashed before me in about 3 seconds. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you know, when you came to America, you were willing to put everything aside. We sold everything we had. We came over to this country. We had $1,200. We had 4 suitcases, 2 small children, and a word from God to come. And I was willing to do it. I mean, John is the one who had the word, and the word the Lord gave me was, will you be willing to be like Sarah? Abraham had the word, but Sarah followed Abraham. So my word was, be a Sarah. And John had the word, but I followed my husband. So I didn't actually have that word, but I was willing to do whatever the Lord said. And then about, was it 6 years prior to that, we'd bought a house. The houses we'd rented up to then, they had sold underneath us. And I was just tired of having to move. I'd moved and moved and moved, and I was tired of moving. And I said, Lord, I just want a house. I want to be settled. I want to put some roots. My kids need a root. They need roots. They need a foundation. I just want a house. And so we bought a house. And the Lord flashed all this before my mind in, you know, in about 3 seconds. And then he spoke a word to me. He said, I place before you this day a crossroads. You can choose security or anointing. Security or anointing. And I'm telling you, I wept. I wept from my big toes. I mean, the grief that came out of my spirit as I realized for the last 6 years I had chosen security. I'd held my husband back. And I had to ask his forgiveness for that. And John didn't have any idea what was going on inside of me. But I was weeping, mascara all over his shirt. You know, I was just crying. I don't think I've ever in my life cried like I cried that day. As I repented before the Lord. Oh God, I see what I've done. I chose security rather than anointing. And this day, Lord, and we were at church that day till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This day, Lord, I set my heart, I set my eyes, and I choose your anointing. If you're leaving me on this earth, I choose your anointing. We went home, and that very afternoon, we put our house on the market. And within a couple of weeks, it sold. And I can't tell you how the changes that God has done in our life since then. I mean, it's absolutely been miraculous. And the more we've just got rid of all the stuff, the more he's poured out his anointing upon us. Mm-hmm. It's like the anointing of the Spirit of the living God upon this human flesh and this human flesh and those two human flesh. Our family has got stronger and stronger and stronger. Because you see, we're no one special. You're as special to God as we are. But he's looking for available vessels that will choose him above everything else. One line of the chorus we sang tonight was, you know, I've desired you more than earthly things. That's what he wants. As a deer pants after water brooks, so my heart pants after you. He wants that hunger. And when that hunger's there, he's going to fill it. He's going to fill it with every good thing. But that anointing will change you. You know, as soon as I made that choice, my tongue was loosed. And I could speak. And the first thing I spoke was, Lord, I asked my husband to forgive me for holding him back and for wanting security more than I wanted that anointing. And the Lord just exposed my heart, and he's kept doing that. But we have set our hearts and our minds and our flesh, our possessions, every part of our life, as a family, as a ministry, as every part of us, we've set it on the goal of knowing the anointing of the Spirit upon us.
Thank you. So, good news to the poor. Dealing with all those roots of greed, all those roots relating to finances, bringing it into kingdom order, and then, listen to this, God doesn't want to deprive you. But he wants to entrust you with the true riches of the kingdom. Jesus said, if you can't be faithful in mammon, how will they trust you with the true riches of the kingdom? See, and I want to be trusted with the true riches of the kingdom. And so the anointing has brought a correction in the whole area of possessions, finances, material things. The second area that the anointing is going to touch is he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, I love this. When I came to the United States of America in 1982, I didn't realize how much emotional healing I needed. And God used those early years to begin to expose stuff in me that needed healing. I would go out traveling on trips, and I'd come in, and in those days I drove a lot, you know, because I just loved driving. I'd drive to my meetings, and I love driving through the night. I can, you know, drive for hours. And so I'd get in the van and drive home after a meeting all through the night and get home tired. And it was like when I'd get home, I could see everything that was wrong with everything. If Bev had scuffed the tires of her car, I could see that. If the kids had been sitting at my desk and moved one of my pencils around, I could see that. I had so much anger, and that critical perfectionism was being exposed in me. It was all God's way. And there were times that I would just lose my temper with the kids, and the Holy Spirit would convict me. And I thought, man, I've just got a demon of anger. And so I'd, you know, cast out that demon and so on, but the thing would just keep resurfacing. Under pressure, God was exposing some deep wounds that were down there, deep within me. And finally, God began to do a healing in about 1985. And he started showing me that I'd received these wounds from my very legalistic, angry father, who often beat me in anger. And so I had the stored up anger within me, and God began to do a powerful work of healing in me. And out of that, raised up a ministry of ministering healing to people. And I would spend hours in counseling sessions with people, you know, digging around, you know, asking the Holy Spirit to show all the roots, going back into the womb sometimes, you know. And there was a measure of success. But I'm telling you, I said, God, there's got to be an easier way of doing this. There's got to be an easier way than these long counseling sessions. And the Lord began to show me when I saw the anointing on Rodney Howard Brown in Lakeland, I began to see the anointing that I knew was coming. And that is, the anointing can heal the brokenhearted without all of a counselor being involved in digging around and all the rest of it. And many of you have experienced that. Under the anointing, the Spirit of God will begin to bring up the pain and the hurt and so on. He'll bring it to the surface. The pain will come up. But then the mourning gets turned to joy, and there comes a release. Sometimes he'll show you faces of those that you need to forgive, debts that you need to cancel, and so on. And as you walk through that forgiveness, the release of grace can come in your life. But there's such a power to the anointing to heal the brokenhearted. It's so wonderful. I'll never forget when we first, some of the early experiences started moving in the anointing. I'm going to tell this story for you. We were on television, you know, in Midland, Odessa, on KRPV, Channel 29, which is KMLM 42 in Midland, Odessa. And we were doing a camp meeting for a week there when they first moved into that new big studio of theirs before they had anything. They put a carpet in the front so that we could lay out the people on the carpet. And Bev and I did a week-long camp meeting. And I mean, they came in their hundreds. You know, it was an exciting time. And one night this woman came in to Bev and she said, I left my 17-year-old daughter at home lying in a fetal position in total depression. She'd gone to all sorts of institutions. She'd been to the Minrith and Meyer Clinic to try and bring her out of the, and another institution, which Rafa as well, to try and help her. And she couldn't get free, just lying at home in a fetal position. And Bev, just under the anointing, said, hold out your hands. The woman held out her hands and Bev released anointing on her and said, now when you go home, release that anointing on your daughter. She went home, released the anointing, and the next day she and her mother went shopping, perfectly healed. She came to the studio the next night and came to receive the anointing, fell out on the floor, laughing uncontrollably under the power of God. She went and sat back at the back, and the Lord said, told me to go and prophesy something over she and her mother. And I went and I prophesied that word, and as I was turning away, the Lord said to me, by the way, what caused the depression was that she has a root of unforgiveness against her sister. And so I said to her, I said, you have got a root of, oh, I didn't say against her sister, I said, you've got a root of bitterness against someone. If you will forgive them, you will be totally free. And it was her sister. She went home and forgave her older sister. The next afternoon, her older sister was born again of the Spirit of God. Bev and I went to Christ for the Nations last summer, at the end of the summer, to go and visit some students there that were from Zimbabwe. And as we were leaving their room, suddenly Bev recognized this girl, that 17-year-old girl who was, you know, in a fetal position under depression, was, you know, was at Christ for the Nations, obviously graduated by now. That's the power of the anointing to heal the brokenhearted. I'm telling you, church, we are onto a power that is so wonderful. A power and anointing that heals the brokenhearted. Oh, bless God for His anointing. Hey, we can preach the gospel to the poor. And the healing of the brokenhearted. The third thing is also so wonderful. Listen to this. You can also, by the anointing, He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh man, I've got good news for those of you who have been in a deliverance ministry and got flat worn out trying to cast out all them boogers. I've got good news for you. I remember in Muleshoe when Frank and Ida Mae Hammond came to the meeting and they were worn out. They told me afterwards they were within days of quitting ministry. They were just absolutely worn out. They were just dry and barren, and they came into the revival and they saw the power of the anointing and they got restored because they realized all their lives they had been operating at half power. It's like when we went into the hotel on Saturday, there had been a power failure in town for a whole section of a few blocks in town. And in the hotel, they had emergency power, and you flicked on the lights, and there was just a glimmer of light. And, you know, it was like that for Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. They realized they'd been operating at a low level of anointing. But they realized they had the authority to just stand over a captive and say, "You are free!" And they'd be set free. Without naming every booger, every demon, and so on. I'm telling you, we've got great authority. The anointing says you can just proclaim liberty to the captive. You just stand and say, "Loosed," and tell those demonic powers to get out. Jesus didn't name them one at a time. He just told them all to get out. And they obeyed Him. I'm telling you, there's a power to the anointing that God is restoring to the church, so that we're not going to have to spend these long hours in deliverance counseling and inner healing counseling and marriage counseling and so on. You just release the anointing on the people and let the anointing do the work. You proclaim liberty to the captives. And you can proclaim the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Boy, isn't that wonderful? You see, the enemy has told you you're in a prison and you're never going to get out. You're going to have to work your way out of it. And you're going to have to please God enough to get your way out of prison. But the truth of it is, the door's already been opened because Jesus has led captivity captive. See, and so now I can simply declare to those who are bound, the prison door is open. Step right out. Ooh-wee. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means the year of Jubilee, the year of God's favor, the year of restoration of property, the year when the slaves go free, the year of blessing, the year of being restored to your family inheritance, to what is rightfully yours. In the year of Jubilee, if people had to sell their inheritance during the course of the previous 49 years, in the 50th year, they got everything back. And when God sent me to America, He said through Isaiah 49, your ministry is to reassign the desolate inheritances, to preach to the church their inheritance that they have in Jesus Christ, to preach the riches of their inheritance and see the church repossess what Jesus purchased to make ours. Woo! It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the year of Jubilee. It's the year of restoration. It's the year of possessing your possessions, possessing your inheritance that is yours through the blood of Jesus and yours through the promise of God to Abraham, your father. You can have it all. Woo! Some of you don't look excited about it. Bless your darling hearts. And the day of vengeance of our God, that's not quite yet. But that's also part of the anointing. If you're worried about how it all is going to pan out, relax. The anointing that meets all your need is also going to take care of all the workers of iniquity. What a comfort. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about vengeance. You don't have to worry about getting even. The anointing's going to get even for you. The day of vengeance of our God in God's time. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. I'm telling you, I see a lot of Christians with a lot of ashes in their lives. You know what ashes are? Ashes are the remnants of a fire that once burned brightly but has since gone out. You got some ashes? I mean, a failed marriage, a failed business adventure,
amen,
a failed dream, a failed ministry. Once there was a fire, now the fire's gone out, and all you've got left are ashes, and you keep rearranging ashes. And every now and then you take them off, you know, the shelf, and you examine your ashes, and you talk about your ashes. What could have been, what might have been, what would have been if only so-and-so hadn't done such and such, and hadn't said such and such, this could have been. And you rearrange the ashes, and you examine the ashes, and you talk about the ashes, and God says, I want to give you beauty instead of the ashes. If you will give the ashes to me of faded hopes, and disappointed dreams, and the wounds of the past, and things that you looked for, if you'll give it all to me, I'll turn it into beauty for you by the anointing. See, I'm telling you people, we're going to have to let go of some of the things, that the heavy disappointments that we carry around. They're just ashes and they're occupying far too much energy and time in your life. And God says, if you'll give it to me by the anointing, I will give you beauty in place of ashes. Woo, what a deal. What a deal. You can take that urn of ashes off your, you know, what, your mantelpiece, and you can just give it over to Jesus, and he'll give you beauty instead of those ashes. Shoo! And then he's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Oh, I love that. I love that. Listen to what happens when the anointing comes up. The first effect of the anointing, many people, is this, that sorrow comes up. I mean the hurt, the pain, and the sorrow, and so on. But just like with my sister who gave her testimony last night, there comes a point when I go to a person like that who's experiencing that mourning, and I say, now listen, Jesus has borne your griefs and carried your sorrows. You don't have to carry that mourning and that sorrow and that grief for another moment. He bore it. If you will see the Lamb of God taking that sorrow and you just leave it, give it up to him. Just give it up to Jesus. He'll give you the oil of joy instead of that mourning. And oh, it's so wonderful, because right behind the sorrow is the river of joy flowing. And if you'll just give over the sorrow to Jesus, he will release the joy from within you. And I mean, it's like it's a split second between the deepest sorrow and the profoundest joy. Amen. Some of you have experienced that. The deepest gut-wrenching sorrow suddenly turns into hilarious joy. And your mind is saying, no, this can't be. Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can. Because you see, no matter how deep the sorrow has been, so deep the river of his joy flows. And so it's like the joy is like a river. I mean, that's the picture I always see. The joy is like a river. And the first effect of it is like a flood, a river and a flood. It pushes all the debris and all the garbage ahead of it. And so all the muck gets pushed up, and then the river begins to flow clean and pure and sweet with fresh water. And so sorrow turns to joy. Mourning turns to joy. He wants to give you the oil of joy instead of mourning. And then listen to this. And he wants to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, I'm telling you, there's no need for any child of God to be walking in depression and heaviness, because He's given us by the anointing a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Now listen, I know this for a fact, and it's like all aspects of the anointing. Most of this is going to be released in most of your experiences by faith. I mean, it would be so nice if God would just zap us and everything be taken care of. But in most of these areas, you're going to have to receive by faith. My friend Dudley Hall from our Dallas-Fort Worth area, he has a friend who's a pastor. They used to be football buddies together. And a friend who was a pastor in Alabama. And Bev and I went and did a meeting in that church one summer. The kids went with us when they were a lot smaller. And we did a meeting, and it was a glorious time, but it was too much for the old religious deadheads to handle. And soon after that meeting, the preacher and his wife went on vacation, and while they were away, they called a church meeting. And all of the dead members came out of the woodwork to vote. You know how that is. I mean, they haven't been to church in years, but they're still on the membership rolls. So they call a meeting, and they voted to fire the pastor. So he comes back from vacation, and he's out of a job. I mean, he's been fired. And so he calls Dudley Hall, and he's crying on the phone. He says, "You know what they did to me? I went on vacation, and I came back, and I'd been fired." You know, and Dudley said to him, said, "Flem," his name was Gary Fleming, he said, "Flem, do you think there'll be a day when you'll be able to look back on this and laugh at the humor of this? You went on vacation and you came back and the church had fired you." And Gary said, "I suppose I will." And Dudley said to him, "Why don't we just go ahead right now and laugh by faith?" See, some of you are so aware of the hurt, and you're saying, "Oh, yes, I do want God to heal me. I do want God to touch me. Yes, I want to be healed." Why don't you just go ahead and rear back and open your mouth and begin laughing by faith and watch the river begin to flow and the healing and the release come? "Oh, Brother John, I don't want anything that is of the flesh." Well, you'll never get anything, because it's not of the flesh. It's by faith, believing that He has what He has promised. He is faithful also to perform, that He gives you the oil of joy instead of mourning. And so you open your mouth and you begin to laugh by faith that it's done, and the river begins to flow and the release comes as by faith you appropriate the anointing. Some of you will never receive because "I don't want anything that is of the flesh and anything that is from the devil." And you're sitting there. And let me ask you this. Where do you think the river is going to flow out of? Your ears? "Open your mouth wide," says God, "and I will fill it." Yeah. We have got so incredibly religious in the church. I'm telling you, listen to this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. A preacher came up to me in a church in West Virginia. He was an old preacher. He had pastored for many years. And he came to me and he said, "Brother John, I sure do want the joy." And I looked at this dear brother, you know, distinguished looking man, had pastored many churches, you know, for many years, been, you know, serving the Lord and so on. And he started sharing with me all the burdens. And I said, "My brother, let me ask you this question." I said, "If you woke up tomorrow morning and every one of your burdens was removed, every one of your problems was totally resolved, every need was met, how would you feel?" He said, "Well, I'd be ecstatic." I said, "Well, why don't you by faith just get ecstatic right now? Because the Lord has promised to turn around your captivity. But we're waiting to see everything done and then we'll rejoice." And God's waiting for you to rejoice in the fact that His promise is true, that His word is truth,
and that His anointing will set you free. You see, that same chapter that says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Do you know what it says later on? It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, and there comes a time when you say, I don't feel like laughing. I don't feel humorous. I don't feel real happy and excited. But by faith, believing that God is true to His Word, I'm just going to go ahead and sow seeds of joy in faith that the release is going to come and that the captivity is going to be turned around. And those who sow, and it's an act of faith, sow in tears, shall reap in joy. I'm trying to help you people, because some of you have been waiting for a breakthrough and you're coming up to the front here and you're saying, oh, God hit me. Yes, God hit me. Yes, I receive it. I receive the anointing. I receive the anointing. And you're too busy talking. And what you should be doing is saying, God, I receive it. And now by faith, I'm going to act as though you've done it. And right now, I release the joy. Ha, ha, ha. He, ho, ho. And if nothing breaks the first time, keep going at it. Ha, ha, ha. He, ho, ho, ho. If nothing happens the second time, you keep doing it by faith. Ha, ha, ha. He. That's right. The Word of God is true. Now look at this, people looking around. Why don't you just enter in instead of watching them? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to give the oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And then He says that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Listen, I'm telling you, so many Christians are pursuing righteousness. Let me tell you what Isaiah says, how you're going to get righteousness. It's just by receiving the anointing. The anointing is going to work so that you might be called an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I can't think of any nicer way to come to righteousness than to laugh my way to righteousness. To yield to the oil of joy, yielding to that anointing, and letting Him change me and bring me into conformity to the image of His Son while I'm just having a wonderful time laughing. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. And right now there is a burden removing, yoke destroying power of God in this place. Some of you are going to spectate. Some of you are going to look at what's happening to others. Others of you are petrified that it might get on you, and so you're sitting real carefully. And others are going to enter in and yield to the anointing.
Brad. Filled. Father and son. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The Spirit of God is just falling in this place. The presence of God is being manifest in this place. Just receive His anointing. It's the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that is in this place. Burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, get this whole row of young people.
The conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.